But you, I can write it all down, and I get back, and I'm like, man, I didn't preach none of that. Hallelujah, man. I didn't even preach. It took me a long time to do that, but I didn't even preach none of that, praise God. Hallelujah. But how many knows that the Bible says those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And, you know, I was just thinking how rich you are. I told Aubrey one time, that's my granddaughter. I told her, I said, yeah, you're rich. You're born into my family. And she don't understand that, you know. But I was a poor boy. I became rich 30 years. This 39 years, our anniversary is today. Happy anniversary, baby. My sweetheart, praise God. 39 years. I'm rich. I'm rich. Hallelujah. And if you know where we come from, you would say, they're miracles. I told her the other day, I said, tomorrow's 39, I think it was yesterday. 39. I said, we're miraculous. We're miracles. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. So I'm here to tell you today, praise God, that God still does miracles for 39 years. Hallelujah. I was thinking about the scripture, and Beth's not going to get none of these up probably. I mean, they're coming out, so hey, here we go. But back years ago, Travis, he's listening to Jesse Duplantis. I don't know if y'all know him or not or whatever. I didn't know he had open heart surgery. I never knew it. Yeah, had open heart surgery, the dude did. And praise God. Hallelujah. But anyhow, you know, he said, I'd never know it. I said, I didn't know it. And I looked at Travis. I said, that's what people of faith do. That don't dictate them. See, being broke didn't dictate me after I got saved. I started letting the Word of God dictate my thinking. I started letting it dictate my giving. I was a dollar Baptist when I started to a radical church. This is a radical church to some, you know. But I was a dollar Baptist. I'm still a Baptist. I'm just a believing one. You know, people call themselves Pentecostals. Are you a believing Pentecostal? Some say that I'm Catholic. Are you a Catholic believer? Or, you know, you can be whatever you want to label yourself, but are you a believer? You know, you got to be a believer. But I was telling Travis, you know, I said, he's one of the ones, because he's funny, you know, he's funny. And so I needed some joy in my life back yonder, so God hooked me up with him. And I'd hear him preach and sit there and laugh. And I'm like, man, he's not a preacher, he's a comedian, you know. But you know what? I got a lot of things out of their lives by gleaming off of their preaching. You know, and that's the way we do, and that's the way. But you know, the Bible says in Psalms 23, the psalmist says, the Lord is my, David, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I got a hold of that back yonder, pray God, I don't want nothing today. All I want, I told God yesterday, Saturday, I'm going back, and I thought, if I could ask you for anything, I'd be like Solomon today, God. Give me wisdom to lead your people, God. Help me to train up those and give those place in your kingdom that's called by you, God. Help me, Lord, all I want is the anointing, to be under the anointing that when I minister, it helps people. It ministers to their lives. It changes their thinking based on you, Lord, not my opinion. God, give me wisdom. Because I wasn't praying that, wanting that back down yonder when I needed some money. I was down there and I'm desperately getting a hold of the Word of God, and I quoted Psalms 23 over my life for years. You are my shepherd, God, and I shall not want. I won't lack faith. I won't lack peace. I won't lack relationship in my marriage. You are my shepherd, and I shall not want. You are some of the most powerful people on this planet. If you are born again, you have the ability not to control your future, but walk in the future that God laid out for you in this Bible right here. It's not that we create our life. God laid it out for us, and then we're led by Him, and we follow Him, and He begins to line our steps up. The steps of the righteous are ordained, ordered by the Lord. They're ordained. They're already put in place, but we got to get in them. We got to get in them. God wants you strong under financial pressure. He don't want you to ever let Satan see you sweat it. I mean, when you get under financial pressure, you don't sweat it. You know how you don't let him see you sweat? You don't start talking it. You don't start saying it. You don't start thinking it. You don't get out there, I don't know what we're going to do. Economy's going bad. Had a guy one time, he had bricklayer for years and years and years. And he got this thought from the devil that there ain't no need in going out and give prices on jobs because the Hispanics are taking them all. They're coming in taking, this has been years and years ago. And so I asked him one day, I said, well, how many jobs are you quoting? He said, none. I said, see, you done quit. You've already quit. You've got no evidence of what you're saying. Well, they're doing it cheap and blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm not going to quit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. I said, you know, Hispanics, whites, Indians, they come in, start their own, go get your license, start your own business. There's no competition in the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Is he your shepherd? Then you shall not want. He makes you lie down in green, not dried up, withered away. I'm sermons. Dead ones. Oh, I wish we could get a little out of it. Nah. He causes you to lay down in green pastures. I mean, it's like Travis, he said, I'm kind of drawn to Jesse Duplantis right now. I said, that's the way it is when the Lord's hooking you up. I said, and you'll feed off and glean off of that. Hallelujah. Well, the steps of the righteous are what? Ordered by the Lord. When he gives you a prompting, you know, hear a sermon, you know, you need more than, I told one of my sisters, she goes to church and everything. And I felt led to call her one night, and I just felt inspired, you know, don't call them all the time. And so I called her, you know, and I was going, I got talking with her, you know, a little bit, and she sounded a little, you know, a little thirsty, you know, whatever, a little thirsty, a little hungry. But she's heavyweight, so it's not that. I ain't calling her name because she might be listening to this one, praise God. Well, I got a few pounds too, so hey, we're not fat, we're just plump. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. I told her, well, you know, I said, two meals a week's not, I said, you'll get weak if you just eat two times a week, naturally. Oh, God, I know I would. I said, yeah. I said, well, spiritually speaking, the same thing. I said, so I give her a hookup. I hooked her up. And then she called me the other day because she's wanting us to get together. This is about, I don't know, a week later. And I asked her, I said, Dad, did you get the fire? Oh, yeah, and I like him. I never heard of him. I've been hearing of him for 30 years. But you know what? God uses you. God uses me. Get them hooked up. So I told her, I said, turn him on. Go in there and look at the series. She don't know how to do all that. So she's going, she's doing her homework. Go homework, dig, seek, and you will find. Right? You know? See, the Lord is your shepherd. You're not here by chance. I'm not here by chance. I wasn't looking to pastor a church. I wouldn't look, but one thing that I was after, I wanted the will of God, and I wanted God's people strong. And I mean, I had a Bible study. I started a Bible study because I could see the ignorance that people were, they didn't have no knowledge of God's word. Ignorant don't mean you're stupid. Ignorant just means that, you know, you don't know some stuff. And so I seen it, so I started laying my life down on Tuesday night, and Sandy come down there. She's been here the whole 22 years we've been here, 23. I guess I had it a year or two. I don't know how long I had that Bible study, you know. But she's been in part of this ministry now for 24 years, part of our life, all of our spiritual life. She's one of the reasons we got saved, praying. Crying before the Lord, I guess. God, you got to help them. Oh, my God, God, you got to help them. You just don't know how we was. They're getting desperate. Dar's probably prayed, and she wasn't even saved. Help them, God. Is he real? Help them. Praise God. And God brought us all the way up here where we're worldwide. You giving into this ministry, you know what you're doing? You're getting the lost saved. this ministry plants into ministries that is winning souls, known souls. We plant money into their ministries. How? For 20 years. You're doing it. You're winning souls. Whether you see one around here get saved or not. See, everybody in Bluntsville thinks they're saved. That's why you can't get them saved. They got to have an explosion, an eye-opening from the Holy Spirit, because everybody's saved. I'm inviting people. I still invite them. It don't matter if you're saved or not. Come on, because I'm thinking y'all deceived. You get in here like Monty and them did, pray God, and all of a sudden, bam! Oh, my God, I'm not saved. The eye-opener he is. The Holy Spirit's an eye-opener. He opened my eyes back under. Yeah, I was raised and brought up of a family of 17. 17 brothers and sisters. Commodities was Christmas every month. They just didn't last but 2 or 3 days. Buddy, we eat them. We didn't know, save some. We're like, no, eat. You know? Praise the Lord. I got born again. Then I started hearing people say, because I was called to preach, that you signed up for poverty. You know, you're supposed to be rich spiritually, and you're not supposed to have money. That's a bunch of hogwash. Travis, he was talking about that guy that he's been listening to, and he brought it up to him, and I know Jesus was not poor. The Bible says it. I mean, he had Judas stealing money from his money pot, right? How are you broke if you got money? Somebody carrying it around. I don't need nobody carrying mine. Teresa does a good job. You know, but see, the enemy wants God's people to think, you know, that you're not supposed to believe him for a nice house. You're not supposed to believe him for a nice car. We're not supposed to believe him for a nice building to worship God in. I mean, you know, and all that. And Travis said, I never really thought about that. But Jesus wasn't broke. And when I started finding out that Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible says, though he was rich, it says Jesus was rich. Rich is like, I mean, to some churches are like, oh God, don't say that word. Don't say it. A good marriage. No, ours is on the rocks, has been for 15 years. We're just hanging on to Jesus. No, man, you don't live like that. You live in faith. I had this desire. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to him, and he will bring it to pass. God don't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. He can't lie. He says what he says, and if we do what our part, well, then his part comes. It just comes, hallelujah. Well, I hadn't been to my home church and preached in about 7 to 10 years. I don't know, a long time. And I started having this desire. And I thought, look, God, I'm going to preach up there. I said, Lord, I'm going to preach up there. Praise God, I just receive it right now. And I laid it out, praise God. And I thought, I'm not going to make it happen. I'm not going to make that happen, praise God. God, I told God, I said, God, you're going to make it happen. I know I'm going. So anyways, I told my pastor, and he's tried to encourage Oni, you know, let Scotty come preach. And he felt led, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, you know, I told my pastor, I was talking with him, and I said, I'm coming. He coming where? I said, I'm coming to preach. I was Oni, and I said, nah, Oni don't know nothing about it. I said, he don't know nothing about it. I said, I'm not looking for ministry. I said, but I want to come to my home and preach. You know, I feel I want to come preach. I told him, I said, I'm coming. He said, I believe it. I believe it. I said, okay. Well, Oni ain't been here in I don't know how many years and came Wednesday night, right? Just out of the blue came. Well, I got a text last night. Hey, can you preach tonight? And I said, no, not tonight. You know, I can't do it tonight. I said, what, are y'all in revival? And he says, no. I said, I meant tomorrow night. And I said, I would love to. I'm going. See, you get God's plan on the inside. I don't care if it's going to preach. I don't care if it's, you know, being debt free, if it's having a good life, if it's your kids, whatever it is. The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Hallelujah. See, I know what kind of miracles God had to do to keep me and Teresa together. I know what kind of moves of God that he had to do to keep me sane and her sane while we was under construction. See, it proves to me, and I don't need no proof. God's word's all the proof you need. If God said, I am your shepherd, you shall not want, and he quickens that to you, you lay hold of that, and I don't care what hell comes your way, you don't turn loose of it. You do not let the pressures of whatever is coming against you get you to believe different than what you have in your heart. Don't let nothing get it out. Because God's plan is a good plan. God's ways are good. Hallelujah. I mean, I went through open heart surgery. I mean, you can't even tell it. People can't tell. You went through open heart surgery? God. Most people's half dead. And I said, well, I was half dead before I had the surgery. I said, but I was alive on the inside. I said, and I went in faith and I came out and I've been living in faith ever since, praise God. I said, and it's a good fight. I said, it's not a wheelchair fight. It's not a stay in the bed fight. It's not a lay down. See, the pressures of that pushed me to what I knew to be God's will. See, when the pressures come on you, coming against what you know to be God's will, let that rise on the inside. Make up your mind, praise God, that you're going to go after the will of God. And there ain't a devil in hell, and there's no circumstances can stop you from doing the will of God. That's ridiculous for me to have a thought that I can't do the will of God for some reason. I know it's the will of God for me to stay married. If I didn't, I divorced her a long time ago. Should have divorced me a long time ago. It's just by the grace of God, we're still together. We, you know, praise God. And anyhow, I told her, I said, we're going to go. I'm going to take you out. Go out. Because we don't need nothing. She's like, got to run down to Dollar General and find me a card. Because she asked me, what do you want? I said, baby, I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing. I don't want nothing. There's nothing I want. What do you want? I don't know. I said, you don't need nothing either, and you don't want nothing. I said, so what we'll do? I said, I'll take you to Olive Garden. I've been craving pasta. That's a miracle. I'm like, cook spaghetti. Cook some more spaghetti. Can you cook some more spaghetti? Cook some more. Cook some more spaghetti. I went in there and cooked my own spaghetti. She cooked spaghetti, and I thought, I'm going to cook it this time. Because I go in there and cook me spaghetti, and I cut everything up in it. You know, it's really soup, I guess. So I told her, I said, we'll just go to Olive Garden. And then I got out, and then I went out, I was all excited, and she's sitting there, you know, and I said, praise God. I said, I'm going to Faith Restoration. Preach tomorrow night. Oh, where's going all? I said, oh my God, we're going to Olive Garden. Oh, made me feel bad. I said, well, she said, look, we've been here before. She said, we've been here before where we got to do the will of God other than what we want. See, that's where God wants us. His will is more important than Olive Garden. I mean, I can go out and eat Monday night, Tuesday. We're not going, but I'm just saying. Monday night, Tuesday night. Baby, I can give you a week of anniversaries. But tonight is his night. It's God's night. So I praise God. So you people that are in marriage, y'all that ain't never been married, you know, I mean, don't go into a marriage without God and saying, God, I told Travis, I know it sounds like I'm just rattling on, but it was important to me to get the foundation in my boy so that he never divorces. Never divorces. And I've had people, well, you know, you can't control. Don't give me that. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about my son. I'm talking about my marriage. I'm talking about me. And I'm going to go get this right here, but God, and I'm going to stand on this right here, and I'm going to get my boy to stand on it. Well, when I told him, I said, you got to make sure you find the one God wants. I said, because look, when you get married, son, it's a one time. So I'm planting it in his mind. Get God involved. Get God's will so that you don't have to be broken and go through. There's nothing good about divorce. I don't care what people says. Oh, I got free. No, you didn't get free. You got torn. There's a ripping. There's a tearing. There's a destruction. There's a hurt. There's a pain. There's all of that in that divorce stuff. Now people get it, and I don't down them and judge them. I don't judge. The Bible tells me don't judge, you know, for the measure I judge, I ain't going to be measured by it. I don't condemn and all of that, but we got to come in here with a generation that's under us, and we got to teach them. The world's taught them the wrong way. The world's taught them, you know, I can't stand her, I can't stand him, I don't love him no more, I don't love her no more. I'm talking about Christians. You didn't expect that in the world, but we're to be fighters. We're 1 Timothy 6:12 people. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. Hallelujah. I mean, there's times when I thought it would be better to be alone. I wouldn't have to put up with a woman. And it'd be better for me to be. I wouldn't have to put up with a man. Satan gives everybody those thoughts, you know, at different times, you know. But when the pressure comes, don't fold to the pressure. Just say, nope, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wait on him. And I thought about that scripture last night. Beth, I didn't get it. Told you I probably wouldn't get to him. But Isaiah 40:31, he says, those that wait on the Lord, he said, he will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they will not faint. He didn't say, you know, the troubled times in the last days and they're going to give heed to seducing spirit. He didn't say this is going to stop the church. He said that the Bible says that the gates of hell can't prevail against us. That means, pray God, we have the Lord. I told Teresa the other day, we was talking about something and I was going through a lot after I got saved, you know, and had a lot of wrong thinking. You know, I've been taught by people that didn't really know what they were saying at different times, little things, you know, about the Bible and God and all that. So I was in a really, really major struggle. I had a religious mind because I knew some things that, you know, about the Bible and about God, but I didn't know God. And then when I got to know God, these things that I knew was contrary, that I had heard was contrary to the Bible. On top of the devil trying to get me to turn back and turn back to drugs and you know, fight at home and all of that and tear the ports down, try to go blow the cars up. You know? And so I'm going through all of these struggles. And I'm reading the Bible, and the Apostle Paul said in there, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. And I thought, what does that mean? I don't have a clue what that means. So I go get a Strong's Concordance that we had bought, and I didn't even know how to use it yet. You know, I'd ask Teresa, which one is it? Is it Hebrews or is it Greek? Or which one is that in? Because the New Testament, you know, I know now. But I didn't know. So I'm looking in the Hebrews, and I should be looking in the Greek, and it ain't making no sense. I'm like, this is stupid. I can't understand that either. Then I figured out that I should be in the Greek. I should be in the New Testament. New Testament's Greek. So I go over there, praise the Lord, and I look in there, and it says, prepare your mind for action. That was 28 years ago, 29 years ago. And I thought, how do I prepare my mind for action? I don't know how to prepare my mind. I thought, well, you know, love God. I plan out fighting people here on earth. I know how to do that. I plan on doing it and made plans, different things, you know, and planned on what I was going to do and what I wasn't going to do. And he said it works the same way. He said, you take the word of God. He said, and you prepare your mind for warfare. He said, and when that warfare comes, he said, your mind will be renewed to the word of God, that you don't think like you used to. You don't think defeat like you used to. You don't yield to defeat like you used to. You don't yield to anger. You don't yield to jealous of. I'm not jealous of my wife. I know that they would bring her back. Black God, you just give them a week with her and see. She's a strong woman. She's a strong woman. And I don't like a weak woman. Y'all are not weak. So don't act weak. The Bible says those that are weak, let the weak say what? I'm strong. Not prideful and arrogant and rebellion, but strong. You know? Praise God. So you got to gird your mind up for action. What does that mean? I told the story when Oni was here, you know, and it sounds like a story, but we didn't have no money to go to church, and we didn't have enough gas, and I really didn't finish the sermon up. But we go to church that night, and y'all all know the story, you know, because we're putting God's kingdom first. We felt like seek first the kingdom, you know, and all these things will be added. I mean, that's what it says, seek first the kingdom. Somebody said seek first. Put it first. So we're going and we ain't got no gas. My thoughts was somebody will give us some gas money up there. You know, something will happen, you know. And that, you know, well, it didn't happen. And we come on back and we run out of gas. And I told, everybody knows the story, you know. Praise God. But my point in that story is we believed the impossible. And we received the impossible. We believed that God would take care of us. Our God will supply all of our needs according to His riches. And we fought to go to church. We've been fighting for church for 30 years and we don't plan on backing out no time soon. But God, we've been fighting for our right to come to this house for 30 years. And they ain't nothing been able to stop us but our will over God's will. When our will crosses God's will, I'm talking about mine and Teresa's, then we don't have no strength to do this Jesus thing. But as long as our will is lined up with God's will, and we know that it is, going to church, they ain't nothing can stop us. Nothing should be able to stop you. See, we believe the impossible, and we seen the impossible. We believe the, but by God, see our mind can't really imagine God blessing us abundantly, above, greater than we could think or ask. But it's according to what we allow to work in us. So when we gird our minds up for action, we're going to fight for what we know to be the will of God. See, I don't know what the will of God is fully for you, Johnny, or you, Samantha, or you, Doris, or any of y'all. I don't know what the full will of God is for you. But I know one thing, God is a faithful God that He will quicken you on the inside whatever His will is if you are going after Him. His will might be different for you than it is for me. I'm called a pastor. You may not be called a pastor, but all of the things that God got for you and desires for you, He will put on the inside of you. But now you've got to gird up your, and you've got to fight for what the Lord wants you to have. And that don't mean that the road's always going to be easy. There's going to be pressure on this road of walking with Jesus. It's contracted by pressure. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Thank God He did. But don't leave off the first part. In this world, you will have tribulation. I was telling Brother Chris, you know, talking about work, and I said, none of our jobs worked out this week, hardly. People cost me money. You go to the job and it costs you $250 to get that job. You can't do it, and then you got to go back to that job. You $500 out on the job, and you ain't made nothing. Well, you know what? I didn't say, I'm done with this job. Stupid job. These stupid people. What's wrong with these idiots? What's wrong with these idiots? Nah. I just stayed all calm and cool, we did. And we decided what we going to do. We going to unload this truck and we going to put these here and then we going to move on. We going to move on to the next one. Praise God, hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can't look in the natural and say this is taken from me. Because God says in what? Romans 8:28. Oh my goodness, y'all done got a hold of the gun. Y'all got a hold to the gun. If you're turning to that every time, it's like pulling out double alt buckshot. when you turn to God's word, then you're strong. You don't have to feel strong. That proves you're strong. That proves it out right there, because you're turning to the big gun. There's no bigger gun other than rebuking Satan in the name of Jesus. The word of God is a big gun, huge gun. Aiden, he's out there and he's talking about, he said, Papa, we need to get a tank. And I'm thinking, a tank? What does a kid want a tank for? You know, well, not a real tank. You know, just not a cartoon tank, but, you know, a tank. And I said, baby, we need to get a tank. I thought, you know, what would be wrong with a real tank? We are tanks. We're built up in God. We're geared to win. But if we get out there and say, I just can't never win. I just can't never beat them. God showed me this for me personally back 28 years ago. Now, I used to be pretty big on, you know, muscle cars. And I'd bore them out and build them, you know, and put cams in them. I like the lope. And I had a Nova one time. It was so powerful. When you punched it, it backed all the studs out of the head, man. It was so powerful, you know. I mean, they would just back out. You could lock tight them and everything. And, man, I got most of them. I mean, the car was just that powerful. I mean, you couldn't rope in it, really. I mean, you know, and everything. And I'm like, man, I ought to take this to Green Valley or whatever that racetrack was up there, you know, because I thought, I'm saved now. I used to do it on the streets. And, you know, I had Teresa racing in a 69 Oldsmobile, 445 in it, baby. Woo, that baby would go for the time now. And, you know, race a little bit, nana yana. But anyhow, praise the Lord. I thought, oh, I can't do that, you know. And then but God began to speak to me. He said, you know, he said, some in racing cars, he said, they want the quarter of the mile speed. Did you know you can gear that thing for a quarter of a mile, or you can gear it for a 100-mile race? Both of them geared different. They're geared different. Different gears, different carburetor, different cams, you know, different rear ends. They're geared different. All of that makes a difference on the takeoff and the lung. I mean, you don't want a quarter of a mile. You know, you don't want to build it. If you go into Talladega and you're going to run 300 laps, you don't want to build it where you can beat everybody a quarter of a mile. You won't, because they're going to outrun you. And the Lord spoke to my heart concerning that. He said, see, he said, I have built you to win. He said, I've geared you to win. I've still got the sermon. I put a sermon together and asked him to give me scriptures and stuff. He said, I've geared you to win. He said, you are the righteousness of God. He said, you're not trying to get righteous. He said, you're already righteous. See, there's a gear. He said, you're the righteousness of God. He said, and righteous people walk with boldness. He said, they don't feel like, you know, I don't fit in the family. He said, you've been grafted into me. I've grafted you in through Jesus Christ. He said, and you're geared to win. You're geared to have success. The Bible says it. He told Joshua over there. The Word adds to. The Word builds you, actually, to win the race, to win the battles, to come out with victory, to come out on top of every battle that you ever face, whether it turns out in your favor or not. See, to come out on top don't mean that everything worked like you wanted to. That's not logical in the kingdom. I mean, Jesus come out with victory, but he went to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross. He asked God in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Now, I don't really know if he was talking about the cross or being separated from God. I don't know. But whatever it was, he knew the road ahead of him was not good. And see, his victory wasn't determined by, the Bible says that, and Teresa's talking about angels, and I mean, I know a good bit personally myself about the angels that I have, but to teach it, I don't. I mean, she's going, Lord, he'll help me if he wants to. But I know that I have them. Well, the Bible says that Jesus had legions of angels at his command. All he would have had to do is say, y'all come get me. And that they would have delivered him off of that cross. And you know what, praise God? I mean, those angels are there. She read the scripture. The Bible says that the angels of God excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of the word of the Lord. Now, when God gives you a word in your heart and you begin like, just say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I mean, when that's real on the inside, you start saying it instead of, I don't know the will of God. I don't know what we're going to do. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Them angels have to just set back. They're sitting back and saying, man, what is he saying? Why is he saying that, man? We're here. We got all this power, but we can't move till you move. We can't move till you say it, because they excel in strength, giving heed to the word of the Lord that we speak out of our mouth. The Bible says the angels of God are encamped around about us. See, the Lord is our pressure bearer. We're not built like donkeys. Pack mules. We're not built that way. We're geared to be light. We throwed off heaviness and all of that. And praise God, and we're on our way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We on our way. We've already got the victory. Listen, you got to change your thinking in line of victory. You're not standing. You get born again, you are standing at a place of victory. You're not trying to get victory. I tried to get victory for a lot of years. You know, killing the flesh, dying out to the flesh, and all of that. But when I changed it, the Lord began to cause me to realize that I'm not trying to get victory anymore like I was in the world. I've come up and been seated, and you've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now we're seated above principalities and powers and dominions and every name that is named. It has the bow at the authority we have through Jesus Christ. So see, the pressures, I mean, I have to praise God a lot for my job. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, in all things complain, giving thanks. For this is the will of God, that we are thankful. I'm thankful. I said it the other night, you know, we got to learn and practice. We do this stuff by practicing what the Word says. Once you start practicing what the Word says, then the practicality, the heaviness, the meat of the Word begins to work. The Bible says for us to follow after those who through faith, Paul went through faith, didn't he? Jesus was in faith. Follow after those who through faith and endurance inherit the promises of God. See, you're not waiting. We're not waiting on God to give us victory. We have already been given the victory, and He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. We always come out on the good side, even though it might not turn out like we wanted, but I have to praise God for my job, because when it's hot, and I'm already behind, ungodly people putting pressure to get jobs done and get them done quick, and we've been waiting and blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to say blah, blah, blah anymore. I'm trying to change that. Going on with all their whining and their pressure that they've taken on their self and want to put it on you. Don't let other people put their pressure on you. Let them deal with their own pressure. Travis has got this word that he says to this one guy, we'll take care of it. Used to, he'd come out, pit bull, I might have showed him how to do it. Now all he does, we'll take care of it, we'll take care of it. Come out there, we'll take care of it. I just told him now, we'll take care of it, we'll take care of it. Good enough, ain't it, Johnny? We'll take care of it. When? I don't know, we'll take care of it. When? We'll take care of it. We're going to take care of it. You got to be thankful. I could say, I'm done. Man, I'm 30 years in this. Don't start this. I'm too old for this. I'm too old. Boy, you'll start looking old because you believe you're old. Well, I'm locking up. Yeah, you're going to keep locking up. I can't hear. Well, don't keep saying it. The Bible says in Proverbs, he says, see, now I'm talking about geared to win now. Talking about strong under pressure now. I'm talking about, you know, we're not folding when pressures come your way, because victory's yours. And if you want the results of victory, then you got to stay in the race. You got to start saying, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I can hear and stick your fingers in you. Oh, I bind you right now. Deaf, dumb spirit, thank God, hallelujah. I can hear, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, my ear's keen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. What are you doing? You're geared to win. You're going to win that battle. Somebody told me one time, what if I go deaf, you know? Well, you'll go in faith. That's the best way to go. Don't even let that reason happen. What if I don't come out of open heart surgery? What if I do? See, Christians, they give you a 50-50 chance of coming out. Mine was 100%. Theirs were 50. Whose report am I going to believe? I'm healed, right? I was 100% positive. One of my brothers, you know, don't serve the Lord or whatever, he come in there and pray God, and he says, yeah, I prayed for you this morning. I don't know if the Lord heard me. I said, well, I talked to him and he heard me. I said, I'll be back in a little while. I said, I ain't going nowhere. I said, and when I come out of here, I said, I need you to come to church. I'm going in open heart surgery, getting the church full. Some people are like, oh God, I busted my toenail up there, and I just have to limp in church. Mom told me one time, she said, I just can't stay awake. I mean, I can't sit up that long. I said, good, I'm going to get you a recliner. You can sleep. I brought a recliner in. Now, when she lays back over there, my mama, I ain't giving her no excuses to go to church. We'll put your cot in here. Guy over here, he said, I don't know if I come to church. I don't know. I can't sit for too long. I said, stand up. Stop making them excuses. Stand up. Well, sometimes I need to lay down. Lay down. Just lay down. If I need to lay down, Johnny, I'm going to lay down. But I ain't going to not come here to word. I'm going to lay down. I'll lay down here. And then she says, wow, that is just too bright in my eyes. She's right over there thing. And so I thought, well, glory to God. So I stopped by the Dollar General somewhere and got her some sunshades. And so I said, yeah, now we can't see you sleep. And then Travis hit out the elbow every now and then. He wake her up. Memo. Because she bigger. I'm like, good Lord, we got a tiger in the house. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I didn't kick her out of church, Johnny. I went and told her in the car and brought her to church. I told her my mom in the car, you know. She got to where she couldn't get out. She had to be in a wheelchair. I've told her out of the wheelchair. I told her, I said, I'm a man, Mom. She said, I'm heavy. I'm heavy. I said, no, I'm strong. Let's go. Let's go to church. That's why I'm so dogmatic about church. They couldn't keep my mama out. No, Satan can't keep you out. You can be in a wheelchair. We come in and we'll tie you on top. We'll be like Beverly Hillbillies if it's a big one. We'll tie you on top and your hair will already be, it'll be blow dry the time you get here. Praise God. You think I wouldn't do it? I'm telling you, I know it's funny, but God, I'm serious about people's lives, hallelujah. And you know what? You're geared to win. See, Satan wants you caught up in all your problems and all of that so that you're not excited about serving Jesus. And you're not, get the gusto out of you from inviting people to church and going to church and all of that stuff, you know. But he wants to demonstrate himself to you in church so that you go out like he did in church. And he does. He's doing it. He's doing it in your life. He's doing it. He's demonstrating himself to you, praise God. But see, the Lord's your shepherd, you shall not want. The Bible says, I can't remember where it's at, best got it, but I don't know, it's in somewhere over there. Mark maybe. It says, no man has left father and mother, land, brothers and sisters, for my sake in the Gospels. But they shall receive, anybody know how much? 100-fold. In this life, and eternal life. I'm going to heaven too. Now I can get 100 there it is. And Jesus, that now before, I want to keep it in context there. If you back up before, they're talking about heaven. And Jesus talking about how hard it is for rich people to get into, and they're shocked. Why are they so shocked? Because they had money, Johnny. They had money. They wasn't broke people. And so Jesus is telling them, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. Like that, they're like, what? How can this be, you know? And praise God. And then he goes on and he tells them, and Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house. But he goes on and he tells them, he says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. I'm going to leave an inheritance to my children's children. I believed that before I had children's children. Before I had grandkids, because the Bible said it. And I made up my mind back down there. That's geared to win, see. That's running this race by faith. And I told the Lord, I said, when my grandkids get here, by God, I'm going to have them land. I'm going to leave them some land. I told Travis one time, after he got kids, I said, you better get your own, because the inheritance just went to them. they got land, don't even know it. Where's it at, Papa? Wherever you want it. Aubrey, she'd want to live with us. That's not your land. You got to live with Dad. Praise the Lord. But see, the Lord, He's your shepherd. He'll lead you in these scriptures. But see, if you're a naysayer, if you're like, well, you know, you don't need to have all this stuff and blah, 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 you know, and all that. All of them people that gripe about us that's got money, us Christians that believe God and come off the bottom and got money, they got nothing. They're jealous and they won't do what we do to get it. You know, they just won't do what we do to get it. They won't give away cars. They won't give away houses. They won't tithe. They won't give. But they sure can gripe. They can gripe about you driving your nice Silverado. But they don't know how many cars you give away. They don't know how many seeds you sowed. They don't know how many thoughts of doubt and unbelief that you had to get rid of and fight through to get to your promised land. You know, but they want to criticize and all of that. Somebody told me one time, it was in my family, come to me, she said, I believe the Lord wants you to give me an acre of that land that you bought up there. I said, what? Well, you know, you're blessed and you got all that land and that land. I said, I believe the Lord wants you to get a job and buy your own land like I did. Well, the Lord's going to strip you. I said, my God don't strip. He gives me more. I said, I said, there's nowhere. I said, now your God, where he says God giveth and God taketh away. I said, yours over there takes away the one in your imagination. I said, but my God is a God of multiplication. I said, he'll give me more land. Well, I ain't been stripped yet, Johnny, but God, I mean, I'm making money off of that land now. God ain't took nothing away from me. She still ain't. She's living somewhere else in somebody else's land. Well, get mad at me. It's not my fault. I'm the one believed God that I'd own, that I would live in a house that I didn't build. I'm the one that believed God based on the word that I drank out of wells that I did. I'm the one that believed God that he would bless me abundantly above, greater than I could think of. I'm the one that believed God because my dad never could afford tractors and he was a 40-acre farmer with mules. I rode on them and they drug me off. That's how come I remember them so well. They didn't like you on their back, but I wanted to ride the back of the mule while my sister's plowing back there. And she'd drag you off, and then she'd just sit there. She loved you, but she wanted you off her back. She wouldn't stomp you or nothing. But I told God back under, I said, God, I said, all of this, I said, I'm going to believe, Lord. I said, I'm going to believe for my daddy's tractors that he didn't have. God, I went one time, and I told Dad, I said, Dad, I said, you know, I said, if you, I didn't have no credit or nothing. Because I wouldn't pay bills. I said, Dad, I said, me and Preston, I said, we're going to pay for your tractor. We just can't get it. You go get it on the credit, and we'll make payments, and we'll have you a tractor. You can have a tractor. No, boys, because y'all won't make the payment. He knew. He's smarter than we was. And our heart wanted him to help. So when I got saved, I said, I'm going to believe God for tractors. I believe God. And I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. I thought, man, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 tractors, a backhoe, track hoe. I got a dozer. I thought, glory to God, you blessed me more than I asked for. And some people, well, you bragging on it. Oh, you don't know what I sowed. You don't know what I give. You don't know the fasting and the praying for the will of God. And when God speaks something, they thought they were far out in the Bible. But you know what? It don't matter what people says. The Lord is your shepherd. And I mean, as you fast and you pray and you listen to sermons, God will hook you up. He'll give you a little nugget here, a little nugget there, a little nugget there. He's adding to your race, and he's setting you on a course of victory. That don't mean that problems won't happen. I have to praise God for my job, especially now it's 80-something, 90-something degrees out there. You know, I praised him the other day. I said, Lord, I thank you for my job. I'm not going to complain. Because I know this season will pass, then it's going to get cold and I'll complain about my fingers hurting if I ain't careful. Then I'll be happy for 3 weeks. 3 weeks I'll be happy. Because between spring and summer, it's good for 3 days, maybe 3 weeks, maybe. Then it goes into summer and then you're miserable, sweating, all of that. Aubrey and them don't even stick their head out anymore because they're melting. I had them out yesterday now. They ride a little bit yesterday and out walking. Well, they are now best walking 6 miles, five. That's crazy, but enjoy the ride. Praise the Lord. Well, she's got goals. She's headed toward goal. Believe in God for those goals. Hallelujah. Whatever the will of God is, desires that you have, believe God for it. Believe God for it and see what God does. He's your shepherd and you shall not want. You won't lack in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you this morning, Lord.